You do shepherd.
Mazel.
Just feel like singing tonight. Amen.
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 Sing praises unto the Lord. But I couldn't make it without the Lord. How many knows that to be the truth tonight?
Hallelujah.
Well, we don't have to walk alone, do we? Amen.
Amen.
As long as we leave, put our hands in the Lord and let Him lead us and guide us. My, my, my. Got any saved folks in the house tonight?
Praise.
Hallelujah. Got any folks in anticipation of what God has in store for us on the other side? Amen. Glory to God. How many's tired? Troubles and trials.
Yeah.
Tired of all the situations and the circumstances and all the things that accompany this old life. One of these days, it can all be behind us. One more river to cross. One more valley to climb. Speed it up just a little bit. I've had a lot of troubles and trials in my little lifespan. I'm standing alone. The battle gets hard. Just do the best you can. First of all, a million valleys, shed a million tears. When it comes to the river Jordan, hallelujah, then I'll have no fear. Well, I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. Just one more battle with the devil, I know he'll understand. I'm going through for Jesus, hallelujah, hold me to his nail scarred hand, hold me to his nail scarred hand. Well, there's been a lot of people who talk about me since I walked this narrow way. It's just another little valley, came through it when I pray. I've climbed a lot of high mountains, gone through a lot of little streams. When you see old Jordan cold and dark, that'll be the last for me. Well, I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my trouble behind. One more battle with the devil, I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, hold me to his nail scarred hand, hold me to his nail scarred hand. Well, I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, hold me to his nail scarred hand, hold me to his nail scarred hand. There's been a lot of people talk about me since I walked this narrow way. It's just another little valley, God thank me when I pray. I've climbed a lot of high mountains, go through a lot of little streams. When she goes, Jordan, cold and dark, it's gonna be the last for me. Well, I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my trouble behind. One more battle with the devil, I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, hold me to his nail scarred hand, hold me to his nail scarred hand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hands. I want you to think about every problem you've ever had, every encounter with Satan when he's come against you. Know that one of these days, it's all going to be behind you. One of these days, we're going to cross that spiritual Jordan. We're going to enter into that glorious kingdom that Jesus Christ himself has prepared. It's going to be goodbye to problems. It's going to be so long to trials. Amen. I'm going to hold this nail-scarred hands all the way. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, hold me to his nail-scarred hands, hold me to his nail-scarred hands again. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, hold me to his nail-scarred hands, hold me to his nail-scarred hands. We're going through with Jesus, hallelujah, hold me to his nail-scarred hands, hold me to his nail-scarred hands. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, hold me to his nail-scarred hands, hold me to his nail-scarred hands. One more time. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, hold me to his nail-scarred hands, hold me to his nail-scarred hands. Well, I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my trouble behind. I'm about to get happy.
about to shout. Glory, hallelujah. Gonna leave them all behind. Well, I got one more river to cross, one more valley to climb. Just one more battle with the devil. I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, the truth that's gonna pay. Oh, the truth that's gonna pay. Said I'm going through with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, the truth that's gonna pay. Holding to his nail scar. Hands. Give him praise. Give him praise in the house. Under the Lamb of God. My.
Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of God. How sweet it is. How wonderful it is to feel that heavenly power. Glory to God. Just love Him with all of my heart. You know what? One of these days, these voices will not wear out. One of these days, we won't get tired of lifting our hands and glorifying and praising the Lord forever and ever and ever. My, how we long for that day. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the Psalm, 46th Psalm. I want to focus on the last two verses of the 46th chapter in the book of Psalms. Praise God. Well, how many is happy that you know Jesus?
Amen.
I mean, really happy that you know Jesus. How many is just ecstatic about us? Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know Jesus. Psalms 46, verses 10 and 11. Thank you for standing as we read from the Word of God. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, that we can enter into this sanctuary and feel your holy presence. God, so thankful for each and every one that's come tonight. And I pray your anointing, I pray your blessing, God, upon all that are here. Father, if we have any heavy loads, let us lay them down tonight. God, let us come before your altar, glorifying and praising and worshiping your holy name. Let us exalt you, God. Lord, I ask tonight that you bless and anoint these lips of clay. God, is nothing more than a vessel, an oracle, God, that you may speak to our hearts. God, give us direction from your word, God, that we might be obedient, submissive, God, and willing, God, to be led by your Spirit. If there's any needs in this house tonight, God, we know that you are a miracle-performing God. Father, right now, I pray, God, that you would look to each and every need tonight. Help us be in one mind and one accord. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise, if you would. Amen. Be still. Know that I am God. One place says, be at peace in knowing that I am God. Many of the Bible characters in the Bible are given stories about encounters and situations and problems that would arise in their life only to be stilled by the voice of God. God chooses to speak to us in a number of different ways. I was talking the other day, I believe we were speaking last Wednesday night, and we conveyed that how many different avenues God uses to speak to His people. He's all not always in an audible voice, and how that I long for that day, and when I enter into the portals of heaven and hear the voice of God as He speaks to us. But many, many times He just conveys thoughts into our heart and into our spirit. Many times we hear from His Word through lyrics of a song, through sermons, through church marquees, through different avenues that God chooses to speak to us. But it seems to always be, Brother Jim, in a very needful hour, in a very needful time of the circumstances or the situations that may
be confronting us, and some of the stresses and the strives of life, and how that many times we are perplexed in our ability to cope with that, don't know how to handle it. And we know that God is able. We don't have that doubt in our heart and our mind. We've seen God evidence too many times. How many's witnessed miracles in your life? Amen. Without a shadow of a doubt, you knew it was a miracle from God. Put your hands together if God has ever done a miracle in your life. And many, many times, as He begins to speak to us, sometimes we are not in a position to really hear from God. We are so stressed out. We are so perplexed in anxiety and situations that we face on sometimes a daily basis. But the psalmist here began to tell us, first of all, in the very first verse, he acknowledges that God is our refuge. How many is aware of that tonight? Many, many people today are seeking refuge in something other than God. They're seeking refuge in a number of different ways. But God, here the psalmist says, is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How many knows He's there for us? Amen. We don't have to wait in line. We don't have to get hold or put on hold when we call upon Him. He is always there for us. But I began to think about this particular passage of Scripture today. I needed the Lord to speak to me. I needed the Lord to kind of calm me down. How many has ever been there? Just needs to be calmed down. And so many times the Lord has to say, be still. Be still. In other words, let go of that anxiety. Let go of that stress and that strife and whatever situation you are wrestling with or whatever problem seems to be insurmountable. Just be still. Be still and know that I am God. Now, it's one thing to be still, but it's something very different, Brother Jim, to know that He is God. And God is so powerful, and God is so immaculate in His ability and what He can do. We talked and already said how wonderful it is to see the miracles of God performed. But sometimes God can be the greatest strength and the sweetest counselor, amen, that you could ever find. But He needs us. He needs our attention. He needs us to be still. And listen, be still and know that He is God. Know that you are not alone in your battles. Know that you're not alone in your situations that arise. That you can always call on that hand of God and that powerful God to lift us up and encourage us. I thought about how that God spoke so many times and how He came on the scene and comforted so many people throughout the Word of God. And He's still doing that today. And I thought about reading about Moses and how that Moses, you got to understand how that Moses was a fugitive from Egypt. You know, we think about the Moses being the great servant of God in which he was, and Moses being the great leader which he was. He was an anointed vessel of God. But there was a time in Moses' life where he feared for his life. He could not return to the comfort zone of where he had been raised. And he had to go to a different country and had to go to a different place. And he was tending his father-in-law's sheep. I mean, I remember reading about the story. And there's no telling how many times he had thought about the anxieties in which he faced and the problems. And many times, you know, we think that if we can just get away from all of our problems, that they're gone. And a lot of people turn to different things to try to get rid of those problems, only to find out they're still there. Amen. Whatever avenue they choose to use, whether it be substance abuse, whether it be from the bottle or the medicine cabinet or whatever it is, we find that those problems are still there. And I would imagine that Moses had these anxieties. I imagine that he had these thoughts of back when he was in Egypt and what he was going to do. And God just chose to speak to him from a burning bush to get his attention. And let Moses know that my God, that my hand is upon you. You are a chosen vessel. And I would imagine as Moses saw the burning bush and it was not consumed, and he walked up that land or up the mountain there to go to the burning bush, and God spoke to him and said, take your shoes off, because on that ground that you're standing is a holy ground. Be still and know
that I am God. I have a purpose for you. I have a calling for you. I believe there's a lot of people today that are wrestling, amen, with an anointing and a calling upon their life because they're trying to understand, where do I fit in the body of Christ? What can I do? What kind of qualities or talents do I have? If you would just be still and know that God is anointing upon you and know that God has a place in the body for you, and when we find that place, and when we become submissive and obedient to God, then God gets the honor and glory, and He puts us where He wants us to be placed. Many, many times we run from the calling of God. I myself ran from the calling of God for several years before God finally got my attention. And that's another story. But here was Moses, and he was hearing from God. And it's almost like the voice of God said, just be still. Just have peace in knowing that I am God. And when we have peace in knowing that God is God, there is not an issue. There is not a problem. There's not a situation that God can't handle. Amen. If we understand and place it into His powerful hands with faith and trust, believing that all things are possible. Amen. Those of you that raised your hand as a witness to a miracle, how many would raise your hand and say, I believe that all things are possible with God? Would you do that? Now give Him a hand clap of praise tonight if you really believe that. Not only will God speak to us in miraculous ways, He also chooses sometimes to get our attention in the most unpleasant situations. Many, many times it takes a circumstance, it takes an action that causes us to get sometimes to our lowest point before we can finally realize that God is trying to get our attention. We can be submissive. We can be obedient to God. We can do what the Lord has called us to do, and it seems like everything is failing. It seems like people are turning their back on us. It seems like that we are a square peg trying to fit in a round circle, if you know what I'm talking about. It just seems like nothing is working, and we're trying our very best to do what God has called us to do, and we get it thrown back in our face. So was the case with Joseph and his brethren. If you read the story, what were they so ill and frustrated and aggravated and actually hated Joseph was because he was giving them what God had laid upon his heart through dreams and interpretations. You know the story. Imagine how it would feel. Imagine how you would feel if you're trying your very best to do what God has called you to do, to be obedient, to be submissive, to fulfill the calling that He's placed on your life, and you end up in some horrible pit. And you look around and say, how in the world did it get to this point? And it may not be a physical pit. We know sometimes those spiritual pits are just as bad, if not worse. We feel like it's dark all around us, spiritual darkness. We feel like we've lost our direction. We feel like we don't know which way to go or what to do. But understand that so many times that may be the very time that God says, be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Because you're seeing these things. They're perplexing to you. You don't understand. You can't for the life of you figure out what in the world God's trying to do in your life. And really what it is God's trying to make us still so that He can work out the situations in our life for the way that He wants them to do it. His will to be done, not ours. So sometimes God chooses a pit to be able to speak to us, be still, because that's the only way that could get us to be still. I know you know my mother's in Ashbrook, and went out there today, and I thought it was so, I guess, unique that it was going along with the message tonight, because Mother was just up and down the hall. She was back and forth and back and forth, and today she was very, very giddy, and everything was funny, and just some of the little things that she said was so comical today. But she was walking, and I was trying to keep up with her, Brother John. I was walking, you know, and I walked pretty good, but she was just scooting along. And I said, Mother, you got to slow down. You got to slow down. And she'd say, oh. And she'd slow down a little bit, and then she'd take off again. I said, Mother, be still. Be still, and let's have this time together. And I said, let's go sit down. And so we sat down and she sat there for about 2 minutes. She said, I got to go. I got to go. I said, babe, where are you going? She said, I got to go. I got to go. So then we was walking down the hall and one of the other occupants there's walking up the hall. And she said, uh-oh, there he comes. And I said, yeah, he's coming. It's almost time to eat. She said, he don't look as nice as you. And she's just going like that. And I'm thinking, so many times we're just scooting through life. I mean, man, we're so hectic. I can't get anything done. Everything, you know, I try to get this, I try to plan that, and nothing works out, and we're just scooting like that. And God's, wait a minute. Come on, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. How many times, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to do. And we lose sleep about it and we get nervous about it. And the whole time God has said, if you would please, just be still and know that I am God.
Yes, amen.
Now what's he saying when he knows that I'm God? I can do all things.
Come on,
God can do what you and I could never do. And if he chooses a burning bush, or if he chooses a pit to talk to us, what is the reason? To get our attention. Because he couldn't really get Moses' attention while he was out there taking care of the sheep. He had to cause him to be still. So what you think is frustration. What you think is perplexity. What you think is total disarray in your life. Maybe nothing more than God said, would you just hold it for a second? Would you just be still? Let me speak to you because I can give you peace. Peace in knowing that I am God. Even when you're facing a giant. Man, imagine that. The story of David and how that he came up to the battle and he heard the battle cry before he even came to the valley. And he saw the Philistines up on one hill and he saw the Israelites on the other hill and nobody was getting anything done. And he saw this massive human being standing out and proclaiming that he was champion. Send out your best. Send out your champion. And let's see who the best one is. David's looking around. Why is nobody fighting him? His brother, Saul, nobody would go out. He said, I'll go. I'll go. What made David volunteer to go out? Because he knew that it wasn't in his strength and it wasn't in his might, but he had heard from God.
Yes, amen.
You know, he was tending his father's flock and a bear came out. And David protected the flock and he killed the bear. And David was tending his father's flock and a lion came out. And David killed the lion to protect the flock. In David's eyes, the giant was no more a match for God than the bear or the lion. Because that same God, because he knew what God can do. I saw hands raised. I've been the recipient of miracles. You know what God can do. Why do we wring our hands? Why do we lose sleep? Why are we stressed out when we've faced situations? Because we raised our hands and said, I know what God can do. Just like David did. He said, God allowed me to kill the bear. God allowed me to slay the lion. And you're no more than they are. Amen. I didn't come to you with spear and sword. I came to you in the name of the Lord. When's the last time you told your problem? When's the last time you told your perplexity? When's the last time you told your stress and anxiety? I'm not coming with you with my strength, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. I rebuke you. I receive my victory because God has given me that promise that He is God. Well, if you believe it tonight, put your hands together for the Lord. If you know that He is God, be still. Be still. Be still. Listen, be still and be attentive. Be still and let God speak to you. Sometimes we're so geared up. We're so busy. We're taking off. We're taking off. We're taking off. And God said, if you'll just be still and trust me, I'll make a way. Not only when we're facing a giant. But even after we've disobeyed God, I, for one, am so thankful that God is a God of second chances. Not always been obedient to God. I have suffered the consequences. And they are suffered consequences when we're not obedient unto God. How many knows God's going to get His way? Amen. We read in the story of a man named Jonah. Jonah was disobedient unto God. So many times we think, man, if we've ever messed up, God's not going to hear us. God's going to turn His back on us. God's not going to help us through that circumstance. Do you know how much God loves you? John 3:16, do you know how much God loves you? How much He loves us? And even though Jonah was disobedient, God loved him. But Jonah had to get in the belly of a great fish before he could actually really hear from God. Sometimes we can get in a real repentive state when we're in the belly of a great fish. Come on, when that circumstance just completely consumes us and we're swallowed up in it, and we can't see daylight. We can't see blessings. We can't see victory. We can't see the light, basically, at the end of the tunnel. And God says, this is exactly where I want you right now, because you're going to be still, and I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to speak to you, and I'm going to speak victory into your life, because you know that I am able to do all things. And Jonah repented in the belly of the great fish. And you know the rest of the story. Amen. When he came out, he was very obedient unto God. Even when you're in the fire, you would think that would be the last place in the world that you would hear from God. But the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lets us know that there is victory in the fire. They sang that, amen, this morning. Victory, amen, through the fire. Aren't you thankful? Glory to God. God's not throwing us in the fire because He hates us. He's not letting us go into the fiery furnace because we're, amen, are on His bad side. But it's, He wants us to be still and know that He is God. Amen. Know what He can do. He can do all things if we put our faith and trust in Him. Sometimes what draws us away from obedience unto God is nothing more than what people refer to as a pity party. We get to feeling like the devil ain't bugging nobody else but me. He couldn't be bothering anybody else this week because he's been on my case the whole week. You ever felt like that? It's all right to be honest. Felt like you're the only one that Satan's trying to come against. It's just one thing after another. It just, things are tearing up around the house. Situations at work. Problems here. Problems there. And you're saying, Lord, where in the world are you? Lord, I need your help. Then we go and find a spiritual juniper tree. And we sat down, we poke our lips out and cross our hands just like Elijah. Said, Lord, I'm the only one serving you. Amen. Pity party. Lord, just take me on out. I can't do it anymore. I can't go on anymore. It's as far as I can go. I'm at the end of my rope. Just take me on out. Aren't you glad sometimes God doesn't really answer those kind of prayers? But He says, if you'll just be still. Be still and know that I am God. There's times when we need to purge our mind. There's times when it's just a constant roar up there. You know what I mean? It's just, and you know what that does? It not only affects us, it affects those around us. People can tell it. When you come in like that, sometimes you don't know whether to shake your hands or anoint them with oil. Come on, don't laugh. We've all been there. Ooh, wonder what's wrong with her. What's wrong with him? It's just a constant roar because we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to work it out. We're trying to fix it ourselves because we are fix-it people. Come on. We want to fix it, don't we? We want to work it out. We don't want to have that uncomfortable feeling anymore. But mainly what we need to do is say, Lord, you know what? I just want to be still. I want to be listening to you, God. I just want you right now, God, to give me that peace of mind. And the peace of mind is the peace that I know that God is real. My God is real. Amen. Wherever He chooses to speak to us, through circumstances, through situations, whatever it is. Even, I know most of those were in the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament, Paul and Silas were doing a work for God and got thrown in jail. Boy, if that had been some of us, I mean, we'd been on that phone, wouldn't we? Lord, this is what I get for serving you. Lord, how many years did I been serving you and this is where it takes me? Come on, we're human. We're human. We're not Paul and Silas. You know, it's one thing to be thrown in jail, but it's one thing to sing it in the midnight hour. I'm 67 years old and I don't think I've ever thought of a time as 12 o'clock is to jump up and start singing. Amen. There's time for singing and there's time for sleeping. I choose 12 o'clock to sleep. But they begin to worship and praise the Lord with their feet and hands and stop glorifying and praising the Lord. I don't know what they sang, but whatever it was, it moved the jailer. Glory to God. You know, a lot of people think of that story where God was punishing Paul and Silas. No, He was putting them in the jailer's life. He said, you don't understand. When we're trying to make the next move, God's already on the next game. Two or three games ahead of us. That's the reason, so that they could be saved. And it wasn't for punishment. It wasn't for punishment. He meant God has a reason. God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. Because God is real. Be still and know that I am God. Many, many years ago, and I've shared this, when my brother and I were very, very small, mother went through a time of her nerves. And basically, she was at the point of a nervous breakdown. And she had gone to the doctors. And if she went to Dr. Barry, Dr. Barry, the typical doctor. I mean, if you was to look at Rockwell's paintings, you would find Dr. Barry with his spectacles and his very deep voice and his matter-of-fact, diagnosis, very tossed. And mother was telling him, you know, all this stuff. She said, I feel just exactly like I'm going to lose my mind. And she said later that Dr. Barry looked over his spectacles and said, that's exactly what's going to happen to you if you don't get a hold of yourself. But I ask you, how do you get a hold of yourself? Man, when your mind is so distorted, when you cry for no reason. And this is what mother was going through. But you know what? Her daddy, my granddaddy, my pastor, the one that baptized me, lived in Rockmart. He and my grandmother came down. I remember the house. And they came down and they went right into the room. Mother was in the bed squalling. Couldn't get up. Couldn't do the wifely routines of cleaning the house or anything. Daddy was worried. Me and Dennis were very, very young. We didn't know what was going on. My granddaddy, I can see him now. He went over. And he went down to one knee right beside mother's bed. And this is his daughter, his baby daughter. And he began to stroke her hair. And he began to say, you know that God is able to heal you. You know that God can deliver you. He made it a point to let mother know, you have the faith to be healed. I'm going to pray with you, but you have the faith to be healed. You know what God can do. You raised your hand. You know what God can do. God needs us sometimes to be still and know that He is God. And my granddaddy laid his hand on her forehead, and he began to pray. And the tears of stress and the tears of anxiety suddenly turned into tears of joy. She raised her hand, began to glorify and praise the Lord, got up out of the bed, and we had church right there in that little bedroom at that house, because God was able to get her attention so that He could be God on behalf of her need. God is real. God is real. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is real. Be still and know that I am God. Sister Jennifer, is she there? Would you come to the keyboard? Keith, Sister Lisa, you just come on, music. There's things I don't understand. Bible says we see through a glass darkly. There's things some of us are never going to understand until we get to heaven. Amen. I don't understand the ways of God. His thoughts, His ways are higher than ours. But there's one thing I know in my heart, that God is real. I know for a fact that God is real. Agnostics, atheists, can declare that there is no God all day long, but I know God spoke to my heart. I know I felt Him. I know I saw that miracle. I know that God is real. The key of G. There are some things I may not know. There are some places that I don't go. Oh, but there's one thing I truly know. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. His love for me, well, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how I felt when Jesus washed my sins all away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, my God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. If you feel it, sing it. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed, made me whole. His love for me, my God is real, but I can feel Him in my soul. God sent His Son to die for me when I was lost as I could be. Now He's my rock, He's my sword and my shield, and that is why, thank God, I know that He is real. Sing it, church. Oh, He's so real.
He's real in my soul.
He's real in my soul. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, well, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've heard from the words of God through His holy Bible. We've been encouraged to know that whatever problems we face, that God is still God. He's real. The psalmist said, be still have peace in knowing that I am God. If you're facing situations in your life, if Satan's trying to make you doubt your victory, your salvation, you know that it's real. There's not enough devils in hell that can convince me otherwise. But if you need reassuring, if you need a touch, if you need anointing, please come down to this altar and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Is there one tonight? Please, nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Some of you elders gather around. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Be still. And know that I am God. Be still. Release the stress. Release the anxiety. And be still. And know God.